As we are presenting this month the mission of Grace Bible Church that we are communicating and asking you to envision, asking you to become a part of, is summarized in three words. The mission of Grace Bible Church summarized in three words. Can you say them with me? First is connect. Second? Third? Connect, grow, and serve. Last week we considered what it means to connect. And I hope you have contemplated those truths. I hope you've pored over them. I hope you are growing in your understanding of that. Today, we are going to consider what it means to grow, that it is our ambition as a church, it is the mission of this church, that we be growing. That's not bad grammar there. It's that we individually need to be growing. And as we grow individually, the church corporately will grow as a natural byproduct of that. Before we look to 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to refer briefly to a verse, and it's printed in your notes, in your Gracevine, chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the worst thing that could be said about a Christian? That you are barren and unfruitful. It's like specifically planting an orange tree, and you know it's an orange tree, and you're looking forward to the orange juice and the fresh oranges, and the tree grows, and it never once produces fruit. That would be disappointing, wouldn't it? And then you begin to wonder, well, is it really an orange tree? We are brought into the kingdom of God. We are baptized into the body of Christ. We are translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, not just to be there. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the New Testament assumption that each believer is growing and productive. Let me say that again. The New Testament assumption is that each believer is growing and productive. It is never assumed that the believer in Jesus Christ is just barren and unfruitful. But it is assumed, rather, that each believer is growing and productive. Now, you say productive in what? Well, specifically, the fruit of the Spirit. We find those in Galatians and Romans. But also what we found in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, brotherly love. All of these things. If these are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is that assumption. So it is then our assumption, if we are a New Testament church, there is a reasonable expectation that when we are a part of this church, that we are doing what? Growing. Are you growing? And as we communicate the mission of this church, it is now from here on the reasonable assumption that you are growing. And we together come together for the very purpose of promoting that. Now, let's talk about what grow means. Grow, to grow, as something is growing, what's going on? Unpack that for a minute. That's okay, we're being recorded, but just unpack it. What's going on when something is growing? Speak to me. Expanding, change, what else? I'm sorry?
Nourishment.
There's nourishment, okay, because there is nourishment. What else?
Maturing,
okay? I keep interrupting somebody.
Jack said stronger.
Getting stronger, okay? All right, all of these things are true. If something is growing, listen to this, it does not remain the same. Change, growth is change by definition. If you remain the same, you cannot possibly be growing, because to grow is change by definition. Something cannot grow and not change. It would violate the law of non-contradiction. Something cannot be growing and remain the same, because then A would equal non-A. Just get that little bit of, you know, logic in there. But it makes sense, doesn't it? If I remain the same, I am not growing. So, to grow means to become, to increase beyond what you were. That's what it means to grow. We can grow in two arenas. First of all, maturity in perspective and understanding. And that comes with information, but not just having the information, but consuming it and meditating upon it, knowing it, coming to grips with it. But the second arena that we grow in is the arena of ability and skill, which leads to productivity. Again, back to that New Testament assumption that every believer is growing and productive. The Lord doesn't bring us into His family just so that we can say that we belong. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And our text is just the very last verse. These were the last words penned by the Apostle Peter. He didn't write a lot. He wasn't the scholar that Paul was, but he was an apostle nonetheless. And he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And his last words were these, 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Those are good words to leave. Now, what are we to grow in? Grace and knowledge. Grace is a gift. Grace is something that God has given. Grace is something that He has entrusted to us. Now, I have a question for you. What is the best thing that God has given you? His Son. The best thing, listen to this, that God has given you is Himself. Not particularly any special ability, but Himself. And so, understand that when He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace isn't just an attitude. Grace is a gift. It is something given. And the best thing that God has given you is Himself. That then begins to define how it is we ought to be growing. And the reasonable expectation that is ours, that in the body of Christ, we are growing. Grace is the fact that God has invested Himself in you. I hope you remember that, because we need to be very careful how we define and understand and practice grace. Grace is the fact that God, now remember who God is, the infinite, sovereign, omnipotent creator of the universe, has invested Himself in you and me. That's grace. That defines who we are. It defines our growth and how we are to grow. So I'm going to take these backwards as they're written in verse 18. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge. I'm going to consider those backwards because I believe one is the outflow of the other. All right? But grow in knowledge. First of all, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, let me be clear on this. What I want to be very careful to present to you and for you to understand is not that just, okay, I'm going to determine to grow in knowledge. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. God has given you His Holy Spirit. Okay, now that's grace. Grace is something given. God has invested in you in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, but also for those of us who are Christ's, He has given us His Holy Spirit. That's grace. And it is the role, it is the primary job of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us in truth, to lead us into a growing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ being a person, what does that mean? How do I grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ? Understanding that it is the role of the Holy Spirit. This, in conjunction with what we covered last week, the first part of our mission is to connect, and the primary connection is that vertical one. You and your Creator Redeemer. That is the primary connection. And so growing in knowledge of Jesus Christ is growing in that connection. It doesn't mean you become more His, because you can't be more His. But you can grow in that connection. So what does that mean? That's relationship. You grow in that relationship. This is your primary connection, and nothing can replace it. Please listen to that. Nothing can replace your primary connection, which means that that objective is paramount in your growth. It is first priority. Let me say that again. First priority for you as a believer is to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing can replace that. Because if something does, then you're getting the cart before the horse. Because my walk of faith, my Christ-likeness, is an outflow of my growing knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to happen in that order. Otherwise, I will fall either into license or legalism. And it surrounds us everywhere. But that's why he says this. That's the primary connection. So it's not that, okay, now I'm connected, now let's get on to doing something. No. Grow in that relationship. All other growing is an outflow. And that's the second point. All other growing as a Christian is an outflow of your growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Because Christ is person, He is God and He is person, and we are persons, therefore we were designed for relationship. We were designed for fellowship, for communion, to walk with Him. As I walk with Jesus Christ, the more I'm in step with Him, the more I know Him, the more I delight in Him, the more I am in step with Him, the more I will become like Him. Do you see how that goes? That's why it has to be in that order. The more you walk with Him, the more you become like Him. That's why it has to be priority one. So the assumption there is that if you are growing in Jesus Christ, you are becoming a greater disciple of His. A committed follower of Jesus Christ. What does a disciple do? The idea of a disciple, as we get it from the New Testament, just like the disciples of Jesus Christ, it's not like they got together for a couple hours every day or once a week, was it? When He called the apostles first, they were at the Sea of Galilee, and what were they doing? They were mending their nets. And the Lord comes along, and He's a rabbi. They recognize Him as a teacher. And He says two words. What? Follow Me. And what does the Scripture say? They did what? They left everything and did what? Followed Him. That is a disciple. To be a disciple is to do life with your Master. To do life with your Master. That's what it means to be a disciple. It doesn't mean you meet with Him a few minutes a day. It means you do life with Him. Now, That's for you to imagine. That's for you to flesh that out. What does that look like? That throughout the course of the day, I am doing life with Jesus Christ. Now, please take the moment here to imagine that. The privilege that is yours. I mean, we look at the disciples back in the first century and how privileged they were to be walking physically with the Creator, the one who would be their Redeemer, the Master Teacher. They walked with Him. They learned from Him. They communed with Him. What a high privilege that is. Who says we can't do that? We ought to be. That's what faith is. So imagine walking with Jesus. And He is teaching you. He's leading you. He's encouraging you. He is empowering you throughout the course of the day. You walk with Him because He is person. There is a relationship there. And then secondly, be a little more intense about it. Be a student of Jesus Christ. Be a student of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, what do you mean? I know all I need to know. He's God. He's my Savior. He died for me. He rose again. Ascended. He's coming again. What else do I need to know? A lot. Be a student of the Son of God. He is your Creator. He is your Redeemer. There is a reason why God sent Him to walk on this earth for 30-some years and to be in public ministry for anywhere between 18 months to 3 years. There's a reason why He had that public ministry. He went about doing good. He lived a perfect life. He modeled perfect righteousness of God. It is His character that God has the objective to conform us to. So the more I am a student of Jesus Christ, the more I walk with Him, the more I will delight in Him, the more I will become like Him. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do not assume that you know all that needs to be known. Not possible. Because He is infinite God. You cannot stop learning and studying Jesus Christ. As the Apostle John says in 1 John, a verse we know well, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there is a result of that walking with Jesus Christ. It is a cleansing process. The more I'm walking with Him, the more I will be in step with Him. And the more I'm in step with Him, the more my life will reflect His. And the more I become like Him. That has to be the process. That is the reasonable expectation for us as the body of Christ, that we are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's not just done at certain times and certain places. This is comprehensive. The scope and sequence here is absolute. What do I mean by that? Let me quote William Dembski. This is one of my favorite quotes. For those of you who spend more time than you ought to on Facebook, this is where you'll find it. No, I'm just... Christ has assumed... This is good. Listen to this. Christ has assumed the fullness of our humanity and entered every aspect of our reality. He thereby renders all our studies the study of Himself. Grow in the knowledge of your Creator Redeemer. Don't let anything replace that. Be intentional, be passionate about growing. Because I guarantee you this, okay? Please listen to this. I will guarantee you this. The more you know Jesus Christ, the more you will delight in Him. And the more you delight in Him, the more you become like Him. That's God's plan. That's redemption. That's what works. Therefore, that is the reasonable expectation for us as a church, that we provide the fellowship, the venues, the body, the environment the reasonable expectation that every one of us is growing. It's not okay to just remain the same. That's the mission of the church, to grow. Now let me say this, because he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you want to see your knowledge of Jesus Christ explode, then what should you do? Just attend a whole lot more Bible studies. Be at church all the time. No. If you want to see your knowledge of Jesus Christ explode, then invest what He has given you. That's grace. What He has given you is grace. And if you want to see your knowledge of Him explode, you've got to get out of the classroom. You've got to get up from the seat. You've got to take that truth and you've got to put it to work. Or you've got to take that gift and engage it and invest yourself. Invest what God has entrusted to you. And I guarantee you that your knowledge of Jesus Christ will grow exponentially. And that's why he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, grace is what? The fact that God has invested himself in me. So as you are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and walking with him and becoming more and more like him, that's growing in the knowledge, that's growing in the grace of Jesus Christ. So what I need to do, first of all, is to know it. I need to know the grace of Jesus Christ. The fact that he has given himself to me. Contemplate that. Meditate on that fact, that God's grace means that the infinite, sovereign, omnipotent creator of the universe has invested himself in you. Grow in that. Grasp it. Understand it. Rejoice in it. Because as you do, all the promises, all the challenges of 2 Peter chapter 1 to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. All of these become characteristics of your life as you grow in grace. They are the Christian graces. Grow in them. It is a reasonable expectation that if you are a part of Grace Bible Church, you are growing in these ways. You ought to be able to ask yourself a question, because remember when we defined grow, to grow is by definition what? Change. Are you willing to ask yourself the question from day to day, from week to week, from year to year? Is there a change in me? Or am I just the same that I always have been? Am I just going through the motions? Or is there truly a change in me? Let me tell you what my desire is. That as we become more and more of a community of grace, and I will define that a little bit later on, that there will be the freedom among us to be able to ask ourselves and each other that question. Is there a change in me? Because there ought to be, in the body of Jesus Christ, a reasonable expectation that we are changing. Because if I'm not changing, then I am not growing. We ought to be growing. That's why we're here. That's why we belong to each other. Now, not only to grow in grace means to know it, but it means to develop and engage it. Now, once again, grace is something that God has given you. As we defined the last couple of Sundays, you think of grace, the grace that God has given you is like a tool. Okay? Now, the greatest gift that God has given you is himself. All right? God's not a tool, okay? So don't go there, okay? Illustrations break down from that. But the grace that he has given you as a Christian, God has entrusted to you a tool. Or maybe more than one. And he's given it to you to develop it, to develop your use of it, and to engage it. You can't develop it without engaging it. So we are to grow in that grace, to develop and engage it. Here is a truth. Okay. Now, when I say grace, we're talking in the arena of the spiritual ability that God has given you as a believer. Every believer has this grace. Because that's what Ephesians 4 tells us, doesn't it? He has given grace to every one of us. There's not a person here who has not received a particular grace from God that He has entrusted to you to develop and engage. You need to know what it is. Here's the truth that you need to understand about it. What God has given you is for who? Others. God didn't gift me for my own enjoyment. Otherwise, where would I preach? At home looking in the mirror. I don't want to do that. My kids would think funny things of me. Well, they already do, but what God has entrusted to you is for others. 1 Corinthians 12 makes this very clear. He says, the manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. I, as an individual, am a part of this body with grace specifically entrusted to me to play a vital role in your growth and development. And it's a high privilege. Now listen to me. You say, yeah, Rich, but you're the pastor. Every one of you here can say the same thing. Every one of you here can say the same thing. If you are in Christ, you are a member of the body of Christ. And grace has been entrusted to you for the profit of all. We are to grow in that grace. And the use, the engagement, the development, the engagement of that grace, once again, is an outflow of my knowledge of Jesus Christ, being His committed follower, being a student of Jesus Christ and doing life with Him. So, the second bullet point down there, your gifts, that's the grace given to you, were given for you to invest and engage. Your gift is not given to you just as a possession that you can brag about. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. They were using their gifts to flaunt themselves, to say, look how important I am to God. No, no. That's not what it's about at all. Your gift was given to you for two main purposes. One, to be a help to the church, and to be a light to the lost. It's for the profit of all. What has been given you is for others. So, here's what Richard Baxter says. Now, he was a preacher from long ago of the Puritans, and he says this. I like this. This is really good. He says, be careful that your graces are kept in vigorous and lively exercise. That's good, isn't it? Take that home with you. Put that somewhere where you will see it often. Because it reminds us that we are to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be engaging it. And that's the only way that it's going to grow, is if we are engaging it. So he says, be careful that your graces are kept in vigorous and lively exercise. I like what one commentator said. He said, the Christian walk of faith is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you do what? You got to keep moving. Persevere. And to advance is to persevere. Because if you're not advancing, then you're doing what? Move over to a different analogy. If you're not advancing, you're drifting. And you never drift in a positive direction. Are you growing? Is there change in you? Are you growing in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ? You see, if you're not advancing and moving forward on a bicycle, you fall over, and then all you do is just sit on the sidewalk and analyze the other bikers going by, and there's never any good from that, is there? That's not progress. To advance is to persevere, is to progress, is to grow. Otherwise, you drift. And who wants to drift? God did not call us to drift. He called us to grow. You see, this is a very important point. Grace grows as it is engaged. Grace grows as it is engaged. It is the spread of grace. I often say that God has given grace to us that we might be dispensers of grace. That's an appropriate way to understand it. So grace grows, and it grows in the sense of being spread around. Let's call it the proliferation of grace. That's a good thing. Usually proliferation is a negative tone, isn't it? But let's consider it the proliferation of grace, that we're spreading it around, that as I engage it, grace grows. And that means that we as a church then are a community of grace. A community of grace. It is very important to understand that. And this will be somewhat of an analogy that will lead us into the third statement next week that we're going to consider, which is to serve. Connect, grow, serve. As I am growing, a key part of that growing is serving. So what does it mean if we are a community of grace? Well, first of all, it means that God has invested himself in us. Right? So if God has invested himself in us, then we as a gracious people are then able to invest ourselves where? In each other. Colin, would you stand up for a minute, please, and stand right in front of that chair over there? Thank you. He didn't know I was going to do this, but
facing you or facing that?
Facing that way.
Okay.
Now, this is just for illustration purposes.
That's why people don't sit in the front.
That's right. He has no idea what I'm going to do. But actually, we talked about this on Thursday. I was using coffee cups at the time, right? I've been walking with the Lord for 35 years. I don't know Colin exactly. He's been walking with the Lord for how many years? Let's say 10. Just for time's sake, okay? If I have been growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what does that mean about me? This is a quiz class. If I've been growing, what does that mean about me? There has been what?
Change.
And I am becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Now, Colin's been walking with Christ for 10 years. That means he probably has not changed as much as I have. And there might be some manifestations, and that doesn't mean I'm perfect, okay? Nobody has arrived, nobody has attained. But there might be some manifestations in his life that he might still be struggling with. And maybe I might see he might be drifting off to the side. Instead of moving in a Godward direction, maybe I see there's a couple elements where he's kind of drifting aside. Something is distracting him from his Godward movement. Now, judgment means discernment. I recognize that Colin is drifting. I recognize that he's being diverted. He's being distracted. That's discernment, and it requires discernment to be able to recognize that. Now, we are called to that kind of discernment. We are not called to judge, to condemn. To condemn Colin would be, Colin, you're a Christian, and you're going off that way? Pfft, you're a lousy Christian. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Now, what did I just do? I violated the mind of Christ. I did not exercise Christ-likeness. A community of grace means that I recognize that Colin is starting to drift over there. So what do? I come back here and I put my arm around Colin. I say, Colin, let me walk with you. Let's walk in a Godward direction. Do you see that? That is a community of grace. Thank you, Colin. That wasn't hard, was it?
No, it was fun.
But it requires discernment that we recognize when somebody is starting to drift. But it also requires grace that I invest myself in someone else for their Godward movement. Now, that sounds like the definition of something else, doesn't it? That's the definition of love. Love and grace are inseparable. They are inseparable. But it is ours. What is the greatest command? What is the new commandment of Jesus Christ? That you love one another as I have loved you. Right? By this all will know that you are my disciples. If this happens. But you see, there's too much of this going on. That drags the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. But when this goes on, and we come alongside and we invest ourselves to move in a Godward direction, then we become a community of grace. You see, folks, anybody can criticize. Anybody can criticize. It takes discernment, right? Anybody can criticize. But only the one who's growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ can exercise this grace. And it is ours to become this community of grace that does this very thing. Now that will lead us right into the third statement, the third word of our mission statement, and that is to serve. How can I serve? What can I do? Look around. Is there anyone that you see that you can invest your life in to put your arm around them? And it may not be that, you know, there's some sin going on there. It may just be that they've known the Lord for 2 years. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are myriad ways that we can invest ourselves in each other. And it's not up to the leadership of the church to invest themselves alone. All of us do it. And when all of us does it, every one of us does it, then we become a community of grace. We were just discussing this last week within our family, this particular young lady who we believe desperately needs a more mature young lady by at least 5 or 6 years who is mature in the Lord to come along this young lady and put her arm around her and say, walk with me in a Godward direction. Folks, do you realize how desperately every one of us needs that? We do. Wouldn't it be beautiful if that was happening in the body of Christ and every one of us was doing it? We can. There's no reason why not. But this assumes that we are growing. Therefore, I present to you today that from henceforth, it is a reasonable expectation that everyone at Grace Bible Church is doing what? Growing. And growing means change is happening in your life. You are not staying the same. Now let's just watch. As we commit ourselves to that mission, let's watch what God does among us and through us. Let's ask Him to do that. Because I know that if we ask Him to do that, He will. Because that's His will. That's the call of His kingdom.